Nandesha Vajrastava Sakra Tejasa.
Nandesha Vajrastava Sakra
Tejasa. Arerda dice stapasa chatejita.
Arerda dice stapasa chatejita.
Tenai vashatrum jai Vishnu yantrito.
Tenai vashatrum jai Vishnu yantrito.
Ato harir vijaya shir gunastata.
Ato harir vijaya shir gunastata.
Nanu.
Nanu.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Eshaha.
Eshaha.
These.
Vajra.
Thunderbolt.
Tava.
Of yours.
Chakra.
O Indra.
Tejasa.
By the prowess.
Hare.
Of Lord Vishnu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Dadiche.
Of Dadiche.
Tapasa.
By the austerities.
Cha.
As well as.
Tejita.
Empowered.
Tena.
With that.
Eva.
Certainly.
Shatrum.
Your enemy.
Jahi.
Kill.
Vishnu Yantrita.
Or ordered by Lord Vishnu.
Yata.
Wherever.
Hari.
Lord Vishnu. Vijaya. Victory.
Shri.
Opulences.
Gunaha.
And other good qualities.
Tata.
There. Translation by Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
O Indra, King of Heaven, the thunderbolt you carry to kill me has been empowered by the prowess of Lord Vishnu and the strength of Dadichi's austerities. Since you have come here to kill me in accordance with Lord Vishnu's order, there is no doubt that I shall be killed by the release of your thunderbolt. Lord Vishnu has sided with you. Therefore, your victory, opulence, and all good qualities are assured. Purport. Vitrasura not only assured King Indra that the thunderbolt was invincible, but also encouraged Indra to use it against him as soon as possible. Vitrasura was eager to die with the stroke of the thunderbolt sent by Lord Vishnu, so that he could immediately return back home to Godhead. By hurling the thunderbolt, Indra would gain victory and enjoy the heavenly planets, remaining in the material world for repeated birth and death. Indra wanted to gain victory over Vitrasura and thereby become happy, but that would not at all be happiness. The heavenly planets are just below Brahmaloka, but as stated by the Supreme Lord Krishna, Abrahma Bhuvanal, Loka Punar Avartino Arjuna, even if one achieves Brahmaloka, he must still fall to the lower planetary system again and again. However, if one goes back to Godhead, he never returns to this material world. By killing Vitrasura, Indra would not actually gain. He would remain in the material world. Vitrasura, however, would go to the spiritual world. Therefore, victory was destined for Vitrasura, not for Indra. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vitale Shivate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tilani Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gora Vani Pracharini Nirvisheja Sunya Vani Pashatya Vijatarini Jayo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gora Bhaktarini
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming this morning to this Bhagavatam class with this super excellent subject matter, which is very dear to devotees, and it's very inspiring to understand how to progress in our spiritual life and what type of values we have to really try to develop and what type of understanding we have to get higher from the scriptures and in our practical life. Srila Prabhupada is telling us directly, immediately, that he's revolutionizing the concept of victory. He changed the concept of victory. He's dealing not with material victory. He wants to show that spiritual victory is much more important, much more valuable. And to do that, he uses those two characters. He uses Vritrasura, the name itself speaks for it, no? It's classified as an Asura, which is not. And on the other hand, there is the demigods, Indra. Demigods are defined as devotees. Devotees are demigods. Demigods are devotees. But we know from the previous purports that Vritrasura, by the way, is a pure devotee. In his previous lives, was Chittaketu. You know, he took birth for an offense he made, an involuntary offense, not an offense which wasn't meant. It was an accidental offense. To Parvati. So, we have got these two characters, Indra and Vritrasura. So, who are we? In which category do we pertain? We say both. Both. Yeah. We do both. We pertain to both categories in a certain way. But they do represent, like those two characters, they represent in a higher stage a progression in our spiritual life. And we can state, based on what Prabhupada is telling us, the Indra is a devotee, but at a lower level in his spiritual life. Why? Because he has still got as many demigods, which is one characteristic of the demigods, and of certain type of devotees, which I get included in, we still have material attachment. So demigods, they do have material attachment. On the other side, the other character is Vritrasura. He's a pure devotee. He hasn't got any more attachment. Material attachment. He hasn't got material attachment. The only thing he's concerned is to satisfy the desire of the Lord. What I would like to do in this this lecture, I would like to try to understand what is the state, internal mood of Vritrasura. And that could be, in a certain way, helpful for our spiritual life, to move on from a lower level of consciousness as a devotee to a higher level. But we need to understand what is the click that allows us to make this move up. So for that, I was thinking to to use a story which is not coming from our Vaishnava theological background, but it's coming from, let's guess, the Christian background. I will use a Christian story to, let's try to find out what's the internal mood of Vritrasura, if you allow me to. Yeah, and guess who is the person I would like to talk about? Is Saint Francis. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Saint Francis is a saint based on we know Saint Francis. I'm guessing most of us is has got a Catholic background, so no, we know Saint Francis. Saint Francis appeared in the Middle Age, around the 12th century. That was very strong. He was strong devoted. He was very advanced devoted. That's a myth. Even if you are trying in this Vaishnava path, but yeah, he was a great devotee. He had many incredible realizations. And he appeared in a very difficult period. The Christian Church was, after the Middle Age, they were really struggling. The Church was in really bad shape. If we would go to Rome in that period, and we would expect to see the Pope as it is now, like, you know, a sort of a sannyas, you know, like a very strict preacher, we would be really disappointed. Because the Vatican at the time was a mess. Was really in terrible shape. The Pope had asked the bishops. They had many female, how would you say?
Concubines.
Yeah, when Greek is so straight. Yes, female concubines, friends. Yeah. And they had many things in mind, like money, power, prestige. They didn't. They were not worried too much in killing someone if they were against their needs or their expectations. They would just kill them straight. Home. So Saint Francis, there was the scenario of Saint Francis. Period. So, and then what this man did? He wanted to create an order. He created an order. Based most of it on really getting to the essence of the Christian philosophy. He wanted to go back to the origins, you know, to the simplicity, to the austerity, which Jesus Christ had preached. So this story, so can you imagine the scenario? And then, you know, the Middle Age wasn't such a beautiful era. It was a very dark period. You know when we say in the scripture, darkness, you know, the universe is covered by darkness. And that was it. I mean, it was a very difficult period. Spirituality was really going down. And the condition of people were very difficult. It was a very difficult time, very poor people. There was, you know, not many facilities for what, because Italy was a cold place, you know. In the middle of Italy, there is these Apennines, these mountains, this chain, these mountains, which during the winter, they're very cold. You know, Italy seems, you know, everybody's in mind, it's a very warm country, but in the winter, it gets very cold. So when you go closer to the Apennines, which they go up to 2,500 meters high, you know, it snows, it's cold, it rains. So there was a period when St. Francis, this story is about St. Francis, he was walking from a city called Perugia, very familiar, anyway. He was walking from this town to his original town, or at least the place where he was, where his center was based, which is called Assisi. You know, he was walking, and he was working with Brother Leo, which is, you know, at the time, brothers. What do you call frati, brothers, yeah? Mm-hmm. It was like, they were walking together, St. Francis was in front, and his brother Leo was back. You know, they were walking in those hilly places. It was very cold, it was snowing, you know, it was, the ground was not very nice, many stones, you know, not like the road of today. So the roads were really difficult to walk. And at the time, St. Francis and his devotees were really taking a certain type of austerities on their shoulders. So they were not walking with nice climbing shoes, or they didn't have like modern shoes. They had sandals. Or maybe they were even walking bare feet. Yeah. Any of us have done some particular media, yeah, bare feet. Remember? Yeah. Bare feet, no. So you know it's it hurts. Peachy is not nice.
I mean, it was really painful. I could get the system to go barefoot.
Because Indians, they've got a special food. They have a special feet. You know, they are like the feet is a lot of layer of skin, higher degree of layer of skin. So you know, peaches does nothing. So anyway, they were walking. At a certain point, St. Francis turned back, because the brother Leo was walking back, you know, it was a sign of respect, you know. So St. Francis, which was spiritually more elevated, you know, was just walking a little bit, 2 meters up in front, and then brother Leo was walking a little bit back. And then St. Francis turned back to brother Leo, while they were walking towards this monastery, and said, "You know, even if you give a strong example of learning, of holiness, even if we endeavor very much in doing things, practical things, that is not perfect joy. That is not perfect joy. Sometimes it's trying to find out in these stories what is perfect joy." And then I'll reconnect it with Asura, so at least you know what's the plan. So in this first stage he says, look, even if we show a behavior of high holiness and then we do things in a perfect way, that's not perfect joy. That will not create in our heart, we will not manifest perfect joy. And then they keep walking. Brother Leo said, "You know, what's going on? I mean, what's going on in his mind?" After a little further, St. Francis turned back again and says,
"Did he turn around
and talk to the people that he was with him, or did he turn back?"
Just to Brother Leo, it was just two of them. He was turning around to talk to
them. Yeah, he was turning around.
He was going back.
Hey, well, they were walking towards Assisi, and ever and again he was turning back and giving his, making his observation comments about this subject matter, the perfect joy. And then he said, second time he's turned, he says, "Even if we were able to do miracles, so to give sight to the blind, or to give speech to the dumb, or make the lamb able to walk, that is not perfect joy. Being able to do those things will not give us perfect joy, internal perfect joy." And he keeps on walking. Then he says, "Even if we knew all the languages, even if we could understand all type of science, even if we could predict the future, and we could know all the secret of man, that is not perfect joy." Interesting, eh? We could relate those things to our philosophy, what the Vaishnava says, but yeah. Then he goes on, and St. Francis again turns back and says to Brother Leo, "Shishi, Gopinath Kichan, Jagrabhavya Sula Kichan, Goranka Kichan." It says even if we could understand the mystery of the stars, which means even if we could understand the creation, even if we could understand the virtues of all the herbs and understand the treasures of the earth, that is not perfect joy. And then he went on again. Again he turns back and says, even, that's very interesting, even if we could preach and transform and make people become Christians or devotees, that wouldn't be perfect joy. Interesting. At a certain point, probably he was like a little bit frustrated because, you know, all negative, you know, mm-hmm. like in person, it was negative. So Brother Leo said, he stopped St. Francis, said, please, could you tell me what is perfect joy? I mean, please, let me know. I mean, I really want to know what is this perfect joy? How can I achieve it? And then St. Francis says, when we arrive to the monastery where we are meant to get, so when we will go to a place which we think it's friendly to us, which we think will give us shelter, and we knock on the door of the monastery, we knock, and we know that we pertain to the monastery, we know that that is our family, they will, we think they will receive us in a nice way. But what happens when we knock? The doorkeeper comes down, which is our brothers also, but he comes down and he mistreats us. He tells us bad words. He doesn't recognize us. And he tells us to go away in a bad way. If in that situation we remain calm, we remain humble, we get patience and we don't speak bad words back to him, that is perfect joy. So Brother Leo starts getting the point, no? But St. Francis goes further now, and he says, not happy of that, we go back to the monastery because we are cold. No, it's almost night, it's raining, it's snowing, it's cold, we don't know where to sleep, we don't have anything to cover ourselves. So we go back and knock again to that door. And this doorkeeper comes back enraged, fully enraged, because, you know, I told you already once. He comes down. But this time he comes down with a stick. And the stick at the time, they don't know what stick. They are big, long sticks with knots. Knots on it, many knots on it. And he says, if this person, these so-called brothers of us, take us by the hood, throw us in the snow, and start beating us with that stick, until we understand that, well, you are not welcome here. You will not get bad here, you will not get food here. If still in that situation, we smile inside, we don't feel sorry, but we feel happy towards that person anyway. we think of God in that situation. Of God. We think about God. If we understand that it's all a Krishna's plan, God's plan, and then God is behind it, Krishna is behind it. And the fact that we, and also the fact that we can endure those situations, it's the mercy of God. And after all that, even if we're really hurt physically, we still find the strength to glorify the Lord. That is perfection. So how to connect this to the text we read today, or the story we are reading today? Because really, that was the situation which Vritrasura was in. That's the situation with a highly elevated spiritual person, where a pure devotee he is. He has the perfect joy in his heart. He can endure anything, even death. Because Vritrasura knew he was dying. He was accepting to die. If someone takes 1 year to cut your neck, it's not that you'll be like, it's not like one go. It's not like 1 second. It takes 1 year. Indra took 1 year to cut Vritrasura's head. So he must have felt some pain on a physical level, on a body level. But excluding that, inside, Vritrasura had perfect joy because he knew that all this was created, planned by the Lord. He could see the Lord behind him. Yeah, it's very elevated. Yeah. It's very elevated situation, very elevated condition. But you had joy inside. But so we can understand that the joy which you are talking now, this blissfulness you are talking now, has nothing to do with the external happiness, which, as we read in this text, will bless Indra. Indra will get happiness, material happiness. We will get material happiness. But what is that happiness? Srila Prabhupada is explaining us is the repeated birth and death in this material world. So this text is pushing us to move from one platform, which is the one of Indra, which still desire to stay in this material world, to get some happiness from material things, from material titles, and moving up to a level when we develop this internal joy of reunion with the Lord. Do you have any question or comment? Would you like to add something?
Hare Krishna, thank you for a very interesting lecture. I actually once heard this story told by Radhanath Maharaj, and already at that time I was thinking about this story, how it's not quite the mood we go, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada. For example, we are a preaching society, so the way I understand it, one of the greatest joys to Srila Prabhupada and everybody else, because we follow his footsteps, generally should be that new devotees come, join the movement, progress in Krishna consciousness. So this is my first issue that was with the story. Also, in the beginning, the first thing, what is perfect joy that is totally, as I understand it, is perfection of action. But also Krishna in Bhagavad Gita tells Arjuna how this is important. Actions should be perfect, but it should be, for example, service. You want it to be perfect. You're serving Krishna, you're serving your guru, the devotees. So here I also didn't see how this co-aligns. About Vritrasura, I was thinking how basically he is from some other yuga, so at that time it was a different process, so maybe that's why also this difference, his story more co-aligns than I don't know. I just a few thoughts.
Yeah, thank you for the question. It's quite interesting question.
Can you repeat your question, please? I didn't understand the question.
Do you feel like repeating it?
No, you repeat.
I think you should repeat it back after.
Yeah. Certain way is finding a certain, I mean, supposing there is a difference between what is explained in these stories which I narrated, which I told, and the mood and mission of Sri Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. So it seems like there is a little difference between how spirituality is lived in a Christian theology from the spirituality which is lived in Vaishnava theology. And then, you know, you heard the story previously from Brahma Swamaraj. So why maybe you use it also? Yeah, is it clear? Yeah, I'm going to ask. Would you like to ask? I'll be delighted if you... Apparently, it looks like there is a difference. I personally think, that's my personal understanding, there is not. What we can understand is what we can notice between Christian philosophy and maybe Vaishnava philosophy. There may be a little difference of rasa, or mood, in which devotional service is carried out. There is a little slight difference in rasa, maybe. There is a little bit more emphasis on the suffering side for the Christians. The stick, the whip, the cross. Yeah, they may be, maybe. But devotional service, bhakti, is transversal. It goes through any type of sincere religion or philosophy. It goes through. It's a common point. I personally think there is no at all difference. So, the question we're doing, so why is that St. Francis is pointing out the fact, for example, even if you go and make devotees, death is not perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at our situation. Let's look at us as a future, maybe actual, maybe actual preacher now in our movement, or there will be more future preachers and devotees which are studying, which are growing, you know, take myself in that position, for example. So we say, yes, well, let's think at the beginning of the movement. Fantastic. So anything we do depends on the conscience we do it. I think that's what we have to come down to, really. So we can, what I understand St. Francis is saying, you can go out and preach and then make so many devotees. But why you do it? With which conscience you do it? You do it for increasing the number? How you doing it? Because you will feel nice and great because you have done so many devotees? I think that's what St. Francis is pointing out. If our idea to go and preach is to increase our distinction, our fame, even a very subtle way, you cannot even manifest it. It's not even manifested, but it's there. It's there inside. It's covering the heart. It covers the heart because it's part of our ego. No, it covers the soul. That's what I mean for heart. It covers our spiritual, real spiritual identity. So if we do it in that way, how can that give you joy? Really, how can that give you joy? It cannot give us joy. I think that's what St. Francis is referring to when he is criticized. I don't know if it's a criticize, but it points out that aspect. In all those things that I read through, there are many
levels?
Yeah, many levels of in the spiritual. I mentioned, or Saint Francis practically is mentioning jnana, is mentioning mystic powers. If you read through and analyze properly, it's mentioning those things: jnana, mystic yoga, karma. He's mentioning these things practically. So what Saint Francis is saying, which is fully on the level and line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mood of Srila Prabhupada, is you have to get over those things to really find perfect joy, which is pure devotional service at the end of it. Mm-hmm. We need to go over those things because they're still on a material level. If you analyze it properly, they're still on a material level because the center of the satisfaction is not God. It's not God, which is, it's not Krishna who gets satisfied from those things, but simply our false ego, ourselves. So I do not see personally such a difference, if not on external level. I had a chance very soon, I had a chance lately, a few years ago, to read. There is a difference. I mean, there is a difference in the sense that, as someone was pointing out in previous lectures, is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada, they are opening the treasure box. They are opening it and then give it freely to everybody. That's the only difference. But what the Christians do, they do have all this type of information. But it's, well, they keep it like more in the safe, you know, they keep it a bit hard, you know. And then when you get to a certain level, they share. I managed to get to read a book about Santa Lucia. She was a saint which was born in Lucca, town nearby Florence in Tuscany. You know, I read through that book, you know, so many rasa of Madhurya were coming. Madhurya rasa. They were definitely Matsalya rasa. So there were these higher, in brackets, higher rasa manifesting, also in Catholic Christian religion. So there is. Of course, I understand with you that, I agree with you that, yes, the way that Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested it is written. It's weaker because it's available. It's expressed in such a positive way. It's expressed mainly in how to create relationship between us. So that's because it's weaker.
I strongly react to that because I come from a background where I've seen and I still see. There was on a funeral last weekend of my uncle. And when it, you know, when you see the result on the institutional level, what that type of Catholicism, what I, you know, have lived and see, it's true what you say. You know, like in that, I was in that service last week, and they three times they say, I mean, on three different, they say, glorify the name of God, sing for the Lord, and glorify His name, honor the name of God, literally like that. But the thing is, nobody is doing it. Nobody is chanting the name of the God. I mean, you say Jesus Christ has grace on me. And that's, you know, Christ comes out. And when you see how the people are suffering on the institutional, they don't actually have the knowledge of the three modes of nature, for example, how to come to the mode of goodness. Because we have examples here in Flanders, you know, like Father Damien, very popular name. I don't know if you know him. He went to an island, I don't know what it was. And it's still going on, Damien, they say. So he went to the lepers, a leper island. And he lived with the lepers. He became a leper himself and he died. And now he is considered to be a great saint. I mean, to us, sometimes we hear we should take up some voluntary suffering. So he took up some voluntary suffering. I discussed that with my spiritual master. He didn't say it's ridiculous. He said our thing is completely opposite. You know, because we come to the world of goodness and we will never do such a thing. You know, so, and also, any, the people are suffering, you know, the Catholic thing. I mean, you may have saints like Saint Francis, but he's very exceptional. He is very rare. And, you know, and like you say, the whole church, even at that time, it was a mess. It was suffering like anything. So, you know, it didn't come out what I would expect from this movement to come out. I expect something completely different. The people will chant the names of God, and they will come to a different level of consciousness, and the whole thing will be revolutionarily different. I mean, I'm very stunned about that, because what I have lived with this Catholicism, I have lived. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, like, I don't want the echo actually to hear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's what we want to be. I mean, we are in this path. Can I, is it okay with the answer? Was it okay for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, thank
the
you.
Answer? Was it really clear a little bit?
Yeah.
So, yes, going back to Ramana, yeah. Ramana Prabhu, yes, we are here. I mean, we want to study scripture. That's the reason we are studying scriptures. But I think it's nice to sometimes look at older philosophy, which it can be used in two ways. First of all, we see apparently different point of view, and we can appreciate also others, because, you know, they are living entities, you know, they are living beings, you know, we need, if we want to go back to God, we have to love them also. We have to appreciate them.
I appreciate, but the practical outcome is what?
Yeah, but let's be like bees. So what we do with these stories, we analyze them, we take them and say, okay, we should not do the same type of mistake. Because my understanding is the church now, it was a very young movement 2,000 years ago, like it is this one now, it's a very young movement. So and I'm sure at the beginning it was very sweet. When Jesus Christ was out, sure it was very sweet. And then, you know, because, you know, for 12 people, we should say, risk their life to follow some instruction, to preach. Something more than simple sentimentalism. So anyway, what? But the point is, let's be like bees. Let's take the nectar. So let's analyze the situation. Let's not bring the same mistake in our society. Let's not do the same mistakes. That's the first things I would extract from knowing all the things, all the philosophy, all the way to think.
I think if we look at our tradition of this story of what we're doing, it's very much supported. Very supported.
Totally supported.
There's one example, it's Queen Kunti. She was living in she was under the care of someone who was supposed to be her protector, and because she expected that he was supposed to be just with the person. And then she was thrown out of the place, not her, but there was a family trying to kill her, kill them, burn them, do so many things to just get rid of them. And then after she's asking Krishna, please give us these troubles, you know, because at that time I've seen you, and then we had a good association. It's completely the same kind of happening.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, like you're completely, you have nothing, no shelter. And then thanking Krishna, and then you see him, and then that's the happiness. Yeah. You know, also, an example of thinking that there was just one picture of Papa, one day he was saying he looked so happy before he started the movement. And I said, I was in ecstasy.
Oh.
So, you know, he was going through someone suffering. And also this verse of Ibn-Kaman, which Papa is using so much, you know, it's like somebody's suffering in the reactions of his simple karma, and at the same time it's going on, you know, actually praying or doing his service and praying. So this kind of, you know, suffering at the same time, accepting it and going on, going on, going on. Papa was using so much as example, so it's totally different. It's not a woman, it's completely different.
Thank you very much, thank you for your comment. It made me think about something. Thank you very much for that. It's Ramana was saying, oh, I agree fully with him that, yeah, self-imposed suffering. Oh, let's avoid that, I mean, please. You're already suffering enough for natural, as karma, you know, as vikarma, karma, whatever you want to call it. So we're already suffering enough. But karma is acting, you know, we are getting reaction from our previous activities. We will get those, of course. Krishna will functionalize them, I mean, we'll use them to purify us. But then we say, oh, we don't like this aspect of Christianity, you know, it's like, wow, everything is compared, suffering. Yeah, but you know, there are some lilas in our stories, in our tradition, which are really not so nice if you start describing them as they were. For example, the beating up of Rina Stakur. I mean, do you see much difference? I mean, if we could describe the beating up of Rina Stakur in 22 square marketplaces, it wouldn't be so nice. If we really would go down in details, how that happened, what was the mood of the people throwing and carrying around. Because our scripture, they're condensing, they're going straight to the nectar, they're saying very slightly few comments about it. But I'm sure that the way Agastakur would have been treated in jail wasn't so much different from how Christ was treated in jail. And I'm sure the way Agastakur was carried through all those marketplaces wasn't so much different from how Jesus Christ was carried with his cross, you know, in his path to the hill. So we need to be blissful, see everything is beautiful, yeah. Everything is nice. Let's see to be positive of the preaching. Let's see the beauty of religiosity or philosophy. But it's nice also to see that there are some hard, we may leave some very difficult situation. Even saying to the people, they do in very difficult situation, like Rina Stakur. And then if you remember, there is someone who covered Rina Stakur during that beating. Someone put his back to cover Rina Stakur. That's the reason why Rina Stakur didn't die in the first marketplace. Because he would have died in the first marketplace if he would have get all that load of beating. And then the person who covered him had the marks on his back. Sri Chaitanya is described, he had all the marking of the beating on his back. So, I think what the relevance is to emphasize the fact, as Pritrasura is mentioning in this purport, is that in a way or another we may live difficult time. We may live difficult situations. But the secret or what these stories are helping us is that even if we endure tribulation, difficulties, hard time, we still have to remember the Lord in those situations. Understand that He's running the business. So we are under those situation, and He knows we are under those situations. And do not counteract those situations. Just leave them as they are. In a nice mood, internal nice mood, understanding the Lord is behind. And then you go back to God.
It's a great challenge. Sometimes you're in a situation and we realize that it was Krishna's mercy, but it's not so easy to still not feel something towards the persons who are Krishna's instruments, lovingly or unlovingly. So it's, at first, it sounded, to me, it all sounded really extreme, but then I was realizing that, yeah, and what not much was that your greatness will be shown by how you respond to in provoking situations. So I guess that's what Krishna's looking at too, right? Do they really love me? Do they really trust me? Will they be able to stand this test?
As St. Francis said, that if you manage to go through that, it's like to him, he's not giving you all. You may have a desire, of course, but it's really, he's giving the mercy to go through all those situations. He's seeing really empowering us to go through those situations. But the interesting thing of this story is that Krishna, Sukadeva Swami, you know, talking to Maharashtra, is showing those two characters. So he's showing in some way where we are, maybe we are not even there, but anyway, where we are as Indra, like a devotee which still mixed desires, materials and spiritual, as I fair, because Indra wants to serve the Lord, he's in that position because he wants to serve the Lord, and he's showing the other character, Vitrasura, so he's showing this scale, and then showing you where we are and where we should get to.
This is also one of the tricks Maya is playing with. But we think of Maya as the Maya King. Yeah, the Maya, one of the things, this is like a trick. I face many times this with this, that the Maya is tricking us to think that something is going to make us happy, whereas it's completely the opposite. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Maya thinks, if I will retaliate, if I will punish this person, dealing with troubles, I will feel good. This is what the mind thinks. But actually, in fact, if I serve this person, I will feel completely happy, satisfied, and free, and loving Krishna. And this is one thing. I mean, so many different occasions in my is telling us, be selfish, go for the punishment. And it is completely the opposite, actually. What it does to our heart is completely the opposite. So then, I think this is also one of the things that we think it's not natural, it's not right, but actually it works. Actually, we serve the person who's hurting us, we feel completely happy, completely free. So then, it is just, and then it is also supported by Shastra. So then, if we do it, it's really working. I mean, I know it from my experience, it does work. It's really working.
Mm-hmm. That is difficult. I was reading the third canto, the story of Jai Vijaya, the gold keepers, the doorkeepers. Was it too much food? So the doorkeepers. And at the end of the story, when Brahma speaks back to the demigods, which they were really worried about, those two Asuras sitting down. Hiranyaksha. And then he said during the story, he says, what does offense that? What does offending a devotee means? And he says, offending a devotee means forgetting Krishna. In the moment when you do an offense, you forget Krishna. Even more, it says, when you offend a devotee, you do a scar on the body of the Lord. So, yeah, I agree with you. And then, in the Chatusloki, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, what is illusion? Illusion is thinking that something is not connected to God. That's what it is. The definition of illusion. Thinking that something is not connected to God. That's simple. As simple as that. So, connected to what Vedran is saying. Thank you very much. If you don't have any more questions, thank you for...
At the last point, because...
Please.
I mean, I'm still thinking about it, like what we need. I mean, what I have lived is that the thing... so-called, a religion, and it was not able to take care of its own people. What to speak of the, that people had to be preached. Practical example, when I was at home, the the not the priest, the, one of the sub-priests, came to our house and he was drunk. My mother became an alcoholic. You know, to give a practical example. Okay, so now we are here, and we are here, and there's all these ideals, you know, we can live up to, and we hear that many times in the classes, but, you know, the thing is, if we preach, the thing is, how far are we going to be able to take care of other people? You know, we have examples like Radhanath Swami and Chopati. He has a whole structure, we know very well, he's able, everybody's taken care of. That's what we need, you know. So we have many challenges on that level, but we have to deal with many cultural, you know, so we have to come to a practical outcome that we can take care of our people, you know. So that's what bothers me, you know, like, you know, and how far can we come out with something practical? And that's what I expect our movement can do. But, you know, we are struggling with that.
Yeah. And we should do it as soon as possible because we are still small. Because when we are small, it's easier. If you have to clean one room, it's okay. You have to clean full guest house. That's it's getting deep. If you're alone. Like we do fully. But those examples we take from other philosophy, from our own philosophy, it's urge to really solve those problems as soon as possible. But really to more competent people to do. Thank you very much.
Grazie.
Ci la propria.
Ciao.